If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of James. James chapter number 5, toward the end of the New Testament. James chapter number 5. If you have a cell phone, if you'd be so kind to put it on vibrate and put it in your pocket or your purse, I have actually put mine up myself. And so that's good. I'm Brother Ron. That's good. Okay. So James chapter number 5. We want to continue a series we started 2 weeks ago on people in the Bible that God said one thing about them that He never said about anybody else. And so that makes them very special. 2 weeks ago, Abraham, the friend of God. Last week, Daniel with the excellent spirit. Today, someone you've heard about even more than them. And so we're going to look down in James chapter number 5 for a moment. James, many scholars believe, was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. He was raised up with Him in that family after Jesus was born, of course. And the theme of James is maturity in the Christian life, or how to know you are a mature Christian, not a baby Christian anymore. So it ends on this one subject in James 5. And notice who it addresses first. Notice what it says, verse 1. Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered. The last part of verse 3 talks about the treasure. Verse 4, the hire. Verse 5, you have lived in pleasure. It is no sin to have things and have pleasure as long as they do not control you. Many of the great Christians, Abraham, Job, many of those were very wealthy people. They were great business people, hard workers. If you've got the Midas touch, God bless you. But much is required of you. For to whom much is given, much is required. God does not give us a lot so we can spend it all on ourselves. He gives us a lot oftentimes so we can distribute to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, but notice he addresses the rich first. How come? Here's the subject. Verse 7, be patient. It's not always the case, but oftentimes the more a person has, the less patience they have. If you've ever seen someone at a restaurant demanding, upset, and angry, it's not usually that poor person who's ordering a diet water. Okay, never mind. It's usually that person that's used to getting the best treatment and right now. And so this is the subject. Notice what he says in verse 7. He's dealing with the word patience. Be patient, therefore, brethren. By the way, if you're not patient, you're going to end up being a patient. Unto the coming of the Lord. Why does he say that? He's saying it won't always be this way. So whatever you're facing or going through, be patient. Jesus is coming back one day. This will not be for all eternity. You have to handle this. And then notice what he says there. Behold, the husbandman, that's a farmer, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. If you've ever farmed or raised anything, we have people in our church that raise tomatoes and marijuana and a few other crops. But you don't plant it and then eat it the next day. As soon as those little green tomatoes come out on those tomato plants, you don't say, oh, they're there, and you start cutting them off. You have to look at them and wait till they get larger and larger and larger and ripe. That takes patience. It takes patience in life. And then notice he says in verse 9, grudge not one against another. Why did he put that there? He's saying, have you been treated unfairly? Have you been put down and mistreated? Have you been perhaps prejudiced against? Have you had your name maligned and treated unfairly? God says, just hang on, be patient. Judgment day hasn't happened yet, but it's coming. One day God will judge. It'll all be revealed. Your side will be revealed no matter what anyone believes. He says that don't hold grudges. God says, I will handle business. So all this is talking about patience. And then he says in verse 10, take my brethren, the prophets. He talks about the last part of the verse, suffering affliction and patience. Now here's the subject, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. In other words, if you get through what you're going through patiently, he says you'll be happier on the other side. Going through and finishing trouble makes you a happy person. Quitting during the trouble never makes you a happy person. Then here's the name, verse 11. We count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience, here it is, of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. What's he talking about here? He says, I'm going to tell you about this guy named Job. He's the example of patience. Sometimes what God does in the Bible, he says, it's hard to explain this word patience. He says, snap. He gives us a snapshot. He said, this is a picture of what it looks like. Now, I'm pretty good with pictures if I can see it. And so we're going to talk about, is it worth the wait? Is it worth the wait? I want to say right up front, yes, it is.
Amen.
It's worth the wait.
Amen.
Father, bless the brief time we have. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. God called him patient, the only one in the Bible. What's that mean? Why is it admirable? Admiral is... Why do we like people like that? Why is it a key to all relationships and happiness? Here's the story summarized if you're new to the Bible. The richest man in the world, Job, was a farmer. He had crops, he had cattle, he had sheep, livestock, he had servants, he had 10 children. His children were grown, they had all built their own houses. Perhaps they were all married, we don't know. Everything's going great. He is the greatest Christian in the world. God said it. Satan came to rail on God's people, came to God, and God says, have you noticed my servant Job? There's nobody like him. And then the contest starts. Satan says, he only serves you because of what you give him, God. You're not a great God because that's the only reason he serves you. Let me take everything he has. We'll see how he serves you. God says, okay, do whatever you like. Don't take his life. In one day, Satan kills all 10 of his children. In one day, fire comes out of heaven, burns up his crops. In one day, all of his servants are killed. Man, don't work for Job while this is going on. And all this happens. And one day, Job has a disease all over his body. And I forget the long name it's called, but he's got boils all over his body. That's the story. His wife looks at him and says, why don't you just curse God and die if God treats you this way? He looks at her and says, you speak as a foolish woman speaketh. And it says, in all this, Job, sin not with his lips, nor curse God.
Amen.
Then the rest of the book, it's 42 chapters. He's got these three friends that show up. And if you have friends like them, it's best not to have friends. All they do is say, what sin have you done, Job? No one's ever been treated like this. You must be wicked and it's all coming out or this wouldn't have happened to you. And they rail on him back and forth, back and forth. Job is all beat up. He wished he was dead. At the very end, God vindicates him. At the end of his life, he has twice as much as he had before. 10 more kids. God got Mrs. Job 10 more pregnancies, 90 months of being with child. And he ends up having this influence. That's how it ends up. But the trial is 1 year. He goes through it. And at the end, he says, it's worth the wait.
Amen.
It's worth the wait. Why is it called patience? So what is patience? He was right before the trial. He was right during and after the trial. So what is patience? Here it is, defined. It's not just waiting. It's waiting with a good attitude.
Amen.
Patience is waiting for the bad stuff to end. You've been in a waiting room with people. They waited, you waited, but they didn't have a good attitude. They're texting, they're knocking on the window. When are y'all going to see me? It's waiting without complaining. It's the ability to wait between doing right and getting rewarded. It's the ability to work at a job all week long before you get the paycheck. It's all by faith. God says, them that seek God, He will reward. Hebrews 11:6. As we diligently seek Him, He says, I promise you, I will reward you. There is a reward for waiting. Patience. Heard about a guy, he was in traffic, and this guy behind him just was laying on his horn. Bah! Traffic was not moving. The guy got out of his car, walked around to the car behind him, opened the guy's door and said, get out! You get in my car, let me honk at you for a while. You know, there's some people just very impatient. If you've ever been to animal shows where, I don't know if it's legal anymore, where they have the killer whale jump or the sea lions jump or the birds do something, you'll always see those animal trainers. As soon as the animal does the trick and obeys, they give them some food. It's always automatic. The lion jumps through the hoop. He gives one of the workers to him. And they do it. Why? Because they have to be rewarded immediately. And the immature must be rewarded quickly or they don't keep doing right. A mature person can do right and wait a long time before they ever get rewarded. That's what makes a mature Christian. When you do right, you do something for the Lord, but you don't see the reward for a long time. That's what maturity is. God wants to make that time longer and longer and longer in your life. All right, well, everyone listen. Teenagers, everybody, if you would. Years ago in our backyard, my wife decided we needed an avocado tree. I have not seen avocado trees at any of your houses. I see the lemon trees that you buy, and they've already got lemons falling off of them. You know, they're already coming. I've seen the lime trees. Avocado trees, you don't see them much. How come? 7 years. 7 years before any fruit. You plant them and it's 7 years. We planted them, found out later you need two. They have to cross-pollinate. And every year, any fruit? Nope. Next year, any fruit? Nope. 7 years. I love avocados. I love guacamole more. So this year, our first avocados. And then I found this out. Here's the trick. You wait 7 years. Here they are. And I'm Googling. Here's what you do with avocado. It doesn't ripen on the tree. What? You don't wait till it's ripe. You pull it off before it's ripe. Then you put it on your counter. 7 more days. Then it ripens after it's off the tree. Then you can split it open and take the big seed out and scoop it out, put the mayonnaise and the salsa on top and get the scoops and dip them in there and live happily ever after. We waited 7 years. God says, hey, it's worth the wait. Amen. Everything in life is worth the wait. Let me encourage you. You're in debt right now. It's worth the wait to get out of debt. You're just trying to get off of drugs or get clean off of alcohol or whatever addiction you're on. It's worth the wait. That's right. You're trying to get over some bitterness in your life. Keep working at it. It's worth the wait. You're wondering who you're going to marry one day and wondering if you're left behind and you're going to be alone. It's worth the wait. All the single guys right here, amen. Thank you, guys. It's worth the wait. I'm 14. It's worth the wait to get married. That's good. Wait 30 more years. You'll be happier. Oh, okay. No, I didn't say that. Ask Thomas Edison all the experiments. It's worth the wait to get it right. Ben Franklin said, he who can be patient can have all things. Job never asked why. Job never blamed God, others, or quit. He was patient. Who was Job patient with? I want to give you several ideas here. Number one, he was patient with God. God knew the devil had attacked him. God never told Job. So this entire year, Job could have said, "What's going on?" He never knew. God didn't tell him. God didn't say, "Job, here's what's happening. You're going to make it." He didn't tell him that it would end. He didn't tell him anything. Sometimes we get impatient with God, don't we? Sometimes God is like running a chess set. You're one of the pawns. And you're wondering why he hasn't moved your piece in a long time. He may be saving you for that end move that takes out the other king. God is the master. He knows what he's doing. He's the one that waited billions of years before he even spoke the world into existence. Billions of years before he even designed you to be born. He's pretty good at waiting. It's worth the wait. Job was patient with his wife. You know, we always rail on Mrs. Job. She buried 10 kids too. She lost her house and all her little knickknacks too. She lost all the benefits of a nice family and a nice banking account. She lost all that also. She lost her relationship with her husband. Now he's covered with boils and he's got this disease. I'm sure everything changed and she cracked up and said some things she shouldn't have. Guess what? Job was kind. Honey, let's not talk like that. He didn't slap her. He didn't leave her. He didn't divorce her. He didn't find somebody else. He was patient. Amen. Let me encourage men and women here. If you're married right now, be patient with each other. You're going to go through some times. You're going to go through some valleys. There'll be changes of health. Aging does something to you. Hormones change a little bit. Attitude changes a little bit. Be patient. Okay, move right along. You say, "I don't like that one." Maybe. But I do like Job. He was patient with his kids. Scripture said that every day he prayed, gave an offering to the Lord, and said, "It may be my kids have sinned against God." He was patient with his kids. He wasn't shocked. "My kids sinned? My kid did wrong?" What do you think? That's what kids are made for. Kids do wrong. Kids sin because their parents sin. They got that tendency from mom and dad. They are a lot like us. He was patient with his kids. They go through a season. They go through a time where you can't even tell if they're thinking. They go through a time where they're not spiritual. They go through a time where they get mouthy. They go through a time, sometimes they're rebellious. Just hang on and wait it out. It's worth the wait. He was patient with his friends. Can you imagine losing everything and three guys sitting there just judging you all day long? "Well, I think he did this wrong. Well, I think he should have done this. Well, he shouldn't have done that. I can't believe Job said this." Job, nonstop for a year. He did speak up and say, "You are miserable comforters." That'd have been heroes if they'd have kept their mouth shut. You know, sometimes you're going to have friends get sideways. Don't take a 50-year friendship. Hey, give them a day to write off. When I was in college, we'd take four major tests. At the end of the semester, the professor would say, "Take your worst test, throw it away. We'll just count three." I said, "Is that called the student forgiveness loan? Could we throw three of them away and just keep one?" And they didn't go for that. He was patient with his friends. Not only that, he was patient with his trial. It lasted a year. The sting of grief, the sting of death, the sting of loss, the sting of wondering, "Why me?" And Scripture says in chapter 42 that at the end of his trial, then his friends and acquaintance came to him. You know what that meant? During the trial, they all backed off. Let me just say this. When you're going through something, you find out you have cancer. You go through a grief or a loss or a divorce or something that's kind of known. Some people just don't know what to say. So they kind of back up. It's not that they don't care. Well, they never call. They never text. They don't know what to say.
And in Job's case, he had helped a lot of people. They just all kind of backed off. And then when they found out it was going to turn out good, they all showed up at his house. They ate. They gave him some money. Amen. Be patient with your friends. Be patient with new converts. Well, they said they'd be at church today. Where are they? Same place you were when you first got saved.
Amen.
Sleeping. I found out the largest church now in Napa County is St. Pillows. It's got more members than any other church. They're there right now. Henry Knott, missionary to Tahiti, ministered 22 years on that island before he had his first person saved. Patience. I think of William Miracle. He's pastoring today in Santa Rosa. He fell in love with Becky Umberfirth. They're in Bible college. Well, she is. He's flipped over her. She said, come meet my dad. Her dad was an atheist or lost. William walks in. As soon as William walked in, he left the room. I will not be in the room with a preacher. You guys are lazy and you're not taking my daughter to China, and I hope I never see you again. That was his greeting to William. William came to me, he says, Pastor, what do I do? I said, you got to be under authority. That's your daddy. You don't marry her without daddy's approval. I'll never get it. I said, is she worth the wait? Is she worth the wait? They go through Bible college. He's trying to be kind, trying to win the old man, trying to win her father's heart, trying to do this, trying to do that. She's begging him, Dad, I love this guy. I really want to marry him. Finally, he gives in and says, if you love him, okay. They came to me, Pastor, is that a yes? I said, closest yes you're ever going to get. Let's go for it. And because William was patient, and didn't sneak around impatiently behind his back. They didn't run off and elope. The old man came down with cancer, ended up receiving Christ as a Savior, got baptized, finished strong because a couple did right. It's worth the wait. The Bible says, run the race with patience. You have need of patience, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:36. One of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. So how does God give us this quickly? Man, that's what I need, Pastor. Man, if it helps relationship, that's what I need. Patience, I need it. Here you go. You ready? Tribulation worketh patience. Trouble makes you a patient person. When you've just buried a loved one, you're not too upset when you're in traffic. When you just lost your job, you're not too upset when church goes over 5 minutes. In your patience, possess your souls. We need patience to get our prayers answered. I don't know if you're like me. Mine don't get answered like that every time. But there's some things worth waiting for. Praying about. For 3 months in the hospital, I was praying for my wife, I didn't want to give that up. I didn't stop after a week, and you didn't either. Prayers takes patience. Witnessing takes patience. Not everyone accepts Christ the first time they hear the gospel. School takes patience. You're in school, college, high school, junior high school. You're going to have to be patient on some of these subjects. You're not going to get it just like that. Sports, patience. You're going to have to be patient. Pastor, I don't get the whole message. Well, I don't either. So we won't preach this one again. I promise you. So what helped Job get through this trial? What helped him think it was worth the wait? I'll give you these and we're out of time. Number one, he was mature before the trial. Are you listening? He was a mature Christian before the trial hit. He already had some patient times in his life. He had been prepared for the big one. Second, he was a steward. Job 1:21, he says, the Lord giveth, The Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The Lord gave me all this. Now the Lord decided to take it all back. He said, I was happy before he gave it to me. I'm going to be happy after he takes it all back. It's his. It's his. I don't know what he's taken from you. I don't know what. I can't believe he took that from me. Job was a steward. It helped him be patient. Three. He expected some bad times. He looked at his wife in chapter 2, verse 10. He says, knowest thou not that we're going to receive good and evil at the hand of the Lord? There's going to be good times. There's going to be some tough times. Why are we so shocked? One of our families had a car wreck this week. They're fine. They're here today. Well, maybe they're not here. Anyway, but someone said, oh, I can't believe one of our church families, we have dozens and dozens and dozens of families and thousands of cars. Why wouldn't someone in our church be in a car wreck? Why to go home after all this California traffic and say, praise God, no wrecks today.
Amen.
Receive good, receive bad. Quickly, he trusted God. Amen. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Only trust him, only trust him now. I can be patient. It's worth the wait. I trust what you're doing. He filled his mind with scripture. 23:12. He said, this book is more than my necessary food. He said, I've been spending a lot of time in this book. During tough times, as you're needing patience, you spend time in this book. It'll help you be able to wait longer and see it's worth the wait. What else? He knew he was saved. Chapter 19:25, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He said, if this thing never ends, I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. He knew he'd be a better Christian because of it. He said, when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. I'll be better because of this.
Hallelujah.
Look at this. Why was Job so patient? He kept serving during this time. In chapter 42, at the end of the chapter, God starts bragging on it. He says, my servant Job. My servant Job, he says it four times. What was Job doing during that year of trial? He was still serving.
Amen.
You may be in the sick bed and can't even get out of the hospital. You can still be serving.
Amen.
You can still have it in your heart and want to please the Lord. And what you say is upbeat and true and encouraging. You can serve wherever you are. And that's what Job did. He just kept serving. It was worth the wait to have a good testimony. Here it is, thousands of years later, we're talking about this man. In chapter 42, it says, and after the trial ended, he had more kids. He had three beautiful daughters. And it says, there was no daughters more fair or beautiful than Job's daughters. You know, out of the whole planet, that's a pretty good compliment. Man, y'all got beautiful daughters. Wow, your daughters are so beautiful. He'd have missed it if he'd have quit. It's worth the wait, Job. You got some kids coming up. It's worth the wait, Job. People are going to be reading your story. It's worth the wait, Job. You're going to get to know God in a way you never knew him before. It's worth the wait.
Amen.
It's good. I would end saying this. You say, so is that whole book of Job really just about Job? Not really. It's really talking about the God who made Job.
Amen. Amen.
Think of this for a moment. Scripture says, the God of all patience. So, man, it sure is hard to be patient. Hey, it's hard for God to be patient. Let me see. He's nailed to the cross. People are spitting on him. They're laughing. He said he's the Son of God. Come off the cross if you really are. He sure was patient, wasn't he? He could have come off like that, thrown them all into hell. He was patient. He hasn't even judged them yet. And that was 2,000 years ago. It's pretty patient.
Amen.
See, it's suffering, then glory.
Amen.
Parents of little ones, it's suffering. I know they're cute, but it's hard. It's hard raising kids. If you got twins, multiply it by 18. It's not easy. But there's the suffering time, then the glory time.
Amen.
There's a time. You bend over, you little devil. You resemble your father. Wow, 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 wow. Man, it's hard. And then pretty soon, we're best friends. There's the suffering, then the glory. Why would God need to be patient? For our salvation. For us getting saved. Look at Saul of Tarsus. He was tormenting and killing Christians, throwing them into prison. God spoke to him from the light and saved him on the road to Damascus. He sure was patient with Saul. And I bet some of us in this room, he's been very patient with. Patient with us when we cursed his name. Patient with us when we missed church. Patient with us when we never read his Bible, didn't even believe it. Patient with us when we heard the gospel and didn't accept him and said, no, not now. God's been so patient with us. If you're here today and you've never been saved and you've been coming to this church for years and you got the face and you got it all figured out and everybody thinks you're saved, God's been patient with you. God's been patient for our growth. It's possible to get saved and never grow. If you're not taking in the Word of God, not doing what a Christian does, you don't grow. So some people get saved and they remain in the nursery their whole life. And God is so patient with us. God's patient in our maturity. Jesus had disciples and they said, all right, so who's going to be the greatest? Jesus is talking about the cross. And they said, who's going to be the greatest, him or me? Jesus sure was patient with them. He's telling them he's going to die on the cross, and they're talking about who's going to be the greatest. And then last, in Luke 18:15, the Bible says this man had a fruit tree. It never would bear fruit. And the owner said, just chop it down. He said, hold it. He said, let's be patient. Let's fertilize it. Let's prune it and see if it'll bear fruit this year. You know, God's done that for us. He wants every one of us to bear fruit so people see Christ in us, win souls. And he says, man, you're not doing it, but I've been so patient with you. He's patient, so we're supposed to be patient. You're going to miss out on so many great blessings if you don't get it. It's a key to all relationships. It's worth the wait. Worth the wait. Some of you right now, you're thinking of one thing right now. Something you've been waiting on. It hadn't come through, hadn't happened yet. If it's something God wants you to have, it's worth the wait.
Amen.
It's worth the wait. I still think of my mom. She's in a care home now, not doing well, speaking one word answers to sentences, and can't keep a train of thought more than 30 seconds. 4 years, she came to church without my dad. He was out doing his own thing. 4 years she sat in church without the husband. He wouldn't come. Then he got saved. And I say to my mother, it was worth the wait. It was worth the wait. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon this time.